Radio.
My Story and the Great Story, Becoming an Everyday Evangelizer, a presentation by Dr. Susan Timoney at the Proclaim 2016 conference, brought to you by Cradio and XT3.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's good to be back together again to look more practically at developing some skills and confidence to help we Catholics, when we have the opportunity presented to us, to be able to share our stories of faith, to be more comfortable in doing that. And this grows out of two experiences. For me, I work on our RCIA team at the parish. And a couple of years back, I was doing the lesson on the real presence, on the Eucharist. And a woman came up afterwards, a young woman of about 26 or 27, and she said to me, "Susan, not using any words from the catechism and not using any theological concepts, tell me why you believe in the real presence." And I kind of looked at her and I was like, "'Cause?" And I really didn't know what to say, right? And I went home to think about why it was so hard for me to say something about why this was so important to me. And as I was thinking about the reason, I thought it's twofold. Sometimes we Catholics can get caught up in a language that we know that, of course, outsiders don't. And so if I were to say to you, you know, the Eucharist is the focal point for the rest of my life, you would be able to think about that from your perspective, understand what I mean by that. But for someone new to the faith, who's trying to wrap their minds around what it means to believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, you can see where she needed not just the theology and the language of the catechism, but she needed someone to talk from their own experience about how they came to believe that. And for we who may have grown up in the church and grew up into understanding why, to try to take that and wrap it into a few-minute conversation is quite a challenge. So I think by now, in all of the keynote addresses, there ought to be a pretty clear understanding that, in fact, we're called to be missionary disciples. That, in fact, St. John Paul II, now it's said in Christi Fidelis Laici, the lay faithful are given the ability and responsibility to accept the gospel in faith and to proclaim it in word and deed, without hesitating to courageously identify and denounce evil, and united to Christ, the great prophet, and in the Spirit made witnesses of the risen Christ, the lay faithful are made sharers in the appreciation of the church's supernatural faith. And what St. John Paul II was getting at there is first and foremost the fact that in baptism we receive not only the grace of sharing in the ministry of Jesus Christ, but we receive the mandate to be priestly, prophetic, and royal. To be priestly in the sense of we're called to grow in holiness. We're called to deepen our own relationship with Jesus. To be prophetic means that we're called to be witnesses to the faith. Right, that we're called to share that story of God's love we've experienced in our own lives with other people. And that royal dimension, or that kingly dimension, is to say that in some way our lives are committed to helping to build the kingdom of God. That we're in our testimony, in the things that we commit our time and our talent and our treasures to, that we're about the work of helping the reign of God be made more fully present. Pope Francis speaks of this in a bit more straightforward way when he says, all baptized people, whatever their position in the church or their level of instruction in the faith, are agents of evangelization. And I think that's really important because sometimes what keeps us from wanting to share our faith is thinking, well, I'm not an expert. Or someone may ask me a question and I don't know the right answer. And so Pope Francis says, not an excuse, because, he said, it would be insufficient to envision a plan of evangelization carried out by professionals while the rest of the faithful were simply passive recipients. The new evangelization is new in part because it calls for personal involvement on the part of each of the baptized. every Christian, he says, is challenged here and now to be actively engaged in evangelization. Indeed, anyone who has experienced God's saving love does not need much time or lengthy training to go out and to proclaim that love. And here I'd like to highlight three words. One is, this is a mission that calls for us to have a personal involvement. And my guess is, if you've been here through this conference, you already have a personal involvement in wanting to help our churches be lively and be places that people can sense that presence of the Lord. Secondly, we're being challenged here and now to be actively engaged. And this is, I think, a challenge for all of our parishes and even for the local church. Last year, in preparation for the visit of Pope Francis to the Archdiocese of Washington, we had a campaign called Walk with Francis. And we were asking people if they would make the commitment to pray, to get involved in some corporal or spiritual work of mercy, and or to be advocates in some way for the faith. And by advocacy, we meant being willing to write to legislatures, being willing to begin in the parish to call people's attention to ways to implement care for creation or issues in front of our local legislatures that needed attention. We had this terrific campaign where we got well-known athletes and civic leaders and leaders from the arts to make the commitment to walk with Francis, and had a series of videos that were done. And when the Pope came, we were able to present him with 100,000 commitments from people, 100,000 hours of service that would be done in love for Jesus as inspired by this challenge of Pope Francis. But what was so interesting, of those 100,000 pledges, less than 3% of them were for advocacy. Less than 3% of the people were willing to be able to stand up and engage with our civic leaders on issues of the faith that were important to them. And it raised up for us this real challenge that we have for lay people to assume the part of the mission that really is ours, that out in the world, we are advocating and we are giving testimony, first and foremost to the love of Jesus, but secondly, to that manifestation of his reign and of the kingdom. And so what we began as we dug a little deeper to find out is that people are hesitant in some ways because they're not sure how to construct the story, their own faith story. The first thing that we wanted to begin to help people do is to say, how do I begin to build out my own faith story? What are the key moments in my relationship with Jesus that have really shaped the way that I today live my faith? And perhaps what are some of the experiences that I've had of Jesus' saving love that could be helpful to share with other people who want to know the Lord more deeply or who have no relationship with the Lord but are interested, or maybe people who did it one time and aren't sure how to begin to make their way back to active participation in a faith community. I remember when I was a freshman in college and took myself off to the Mass on campus on a Sunday, the priest began the homily by saying, if you're here because this is what you did with your family for the last 17 years of your life, then I need to ask you, do you want to be here? And if you don't want to be here, I would encourage you not to come back until you're doing this for yourself. And at first I thought, that seems like a pretty crazy invitation to make, because most people are waiting for someone to say, you don't need to come to church anymore. But I walked away saying to myself, well, okay, why am I coming to Mass on Sunday? And am I doing it because, in fact, that's what we always did with my family? It was a moment where that question challenged me to be able to say, in this place, in this experience of college, I want Mass on Sunday to be part of my life. And so I think that all of us have those fundamental experiences that now, looking back on it, really have shaped us in a way that even at the time we may not have imagined. There are certain building blocks that we can use when we want to begin to build our personal testimony. Obviously, at the heart of what we're talking about is how we've come to the experience of belief, and that we enter more deeply into our relationship with the Lord when we see those milestones that in some cases may have brought us closer to the Lord, or in other cases we may have grown distant, and there was a way that we found ourselves back into a deep and loving relationship with Jesus. And then, of course, as Catholics, what we have, right, the great gift that we have is the sacramental life. That in and through the sacraments, we have this ability to enter into the most intimate experience of the risen Christ that we can have while living on earth. And in fact, I think it's really important for us to be able to talk about how the sacraments shape our faith and our belief, because it's the one thing among our Christian brothers and sisters that we can offer that other Christian communities cannot. The fullness of the grace experienced, first and foremost in the Eucharist, and then in and through the other sacraments, that's the unique gift that we have to give as members of the Church. And that always there's prayer, right? Prayer is the lifeblood of our relationship with the Lord, and prayer is always how we can invite people into our experience of faith, to pray with them, to pray for them, to keep them close to us in our journeys. One thing about the sacraments that I think are so important and an important area to focus on for people is because Andrew Greeley, who was an American sociologist and also a liturgist, did a very interesting study with a group of other Christian ministers. And they were looking at what were the ties that bound people to their church. And one of the things they noticed unique to Catholics were that when Catholics who had not been practicing for a long time, when they were asked what they missed most, invariably the answer was the Eucharist. And what Father Greeley found so fascinating was if they had a consciousness of missing the Eucharist, and yet it wasn't strong enough to take them back to active participation in the Mass, what was the disconnect there? And he felt that there were two common themes to the stories. One was going to Mass as a family was something that remained, that experience remained with them for a long time, even if they were choosing not to continue to do it. But the second, when he dug a little deeper, was they couldn't make the connection between what they experienced in the liturgy and what was going on in the rest of their lives. They couldn't make that connection to how going to Mass on Sunday and receiving the Lord in the Eucharist made a difference in the rest of their week. And so even our ability to be able to communicate to people the why of going to Mass, and this was driven home very poignantly when we were working with parents of young adults. In this case, young adults meaning high schoolers, so 16 to 20, 21. And one woman said, what can I tell my daughter about why it's so important to go to Mass? And so the person presenting the workshop said, well, tell me some of the things that you've been saying to her, and let's see if as a group we can work through that. And she started to cry, and she said, I haven't said anything to her because I don't know what to say. And again, my feeling is it's not so much that the experience wasn't meaningful to her. Clearly it was, and it ached. She ached for the fact that her daughter didn't experience what she experienced in Mass, but she didn't have the words to share with her daughter the what of that experience. And so our hope is that these questions give people an opportunity to put the pieces of that story together in a way that they feel more confident sharing it. The next piece of it, though, is that Pope Francis has challenged us not simply to share our story, I'm going to go back, but to also share our story in light of and as a particular experience of the story of God's unfolding plan for salvation. That we're called to take up the responsibility of saying how our lives are a reflection of the great story, of God's story. That the purpose in sharing our story is to help people see in our own experience what it means that Jesus was born that he lived among us, that he died, and that he rose from the dead. And so we move from simple faith sharing to really becoming prophetic in the sense that we're able to move from witness to proclamation, that we're able to say something of the 2,000 years unfolding of the story of salvation. Now, that might sound terrifying, because it is kind of terrifying to think that we could somehow summarize this 2,000-year experience, right? But the beautiful thing is that what we're really being asked at the heart of it is to say, where have we experienced that saving love of Jesus in our own lives? And where have we found the hope to be able to stake our hope in the promise of eternal life, since that's the great gift that God desires to give to everyone? And to be able to say to people, you know, the unfolding of God's plan of salvation, in fact, is reflected in the world in which we live and in our personal experiences. So, for example, for those of us who are gardeners, and for as strange as it is for me to say that I'm experiencing the beginning of spring in the month of September, that what you're beginning to see unfold, right, in your gardens is the beautiful pattern of death and resurrection. That those plants that died over the winter are beginning to come back to life. And it makes us realize that all through the winter, something was going on deep in the ground that enables now the buds to spring forth, the leaves to burst forth on the trees. And that for many people, right, that experience of being able to see that in nature is a doorway to beginning to think about, we also are promised eternal life. And that for those of us who believe in the promise of eternal life, there's nothing more beautiful at a Catholic funeral than those words that life is not ended, but changed. And so we have the opportunity to say, we believe that's real because we see it in our gardens, or we see it in the first experience we had of losing someone we loved, and moving through those stages of grief and being able to come out, hopefully, in most cases, on the side of recognizing, though separated now, there's this promise that will join them again in the fullness of heaven. And so the second challenge we have as Catholics is not to be afraid to be able to link our story to this great story of God's love, because that's a story everyone's being invited to share in. And so the second part of the workshop is to say, well, how do we manage God's story in a short period of time, in the kind of conversations we may have, you know, sharing a meal with other people or with the parent of a child, dropping the child off for a religion class or going out of church on a Sunday? And we have a technical word for this plan, right, the story of salvation, which is the kerygma. And so what we wanted to find a way to do was to help adult Catholics be able to wrap their mind around the key points in the kerygma, that is to say, the key points in the story of salvation that become doorways for our own reflection. And so what we offer you are two ways that that people have done this. One, if you know the work of Father Robert Barron, who is an American evangelist, for many years he was the president of a ministry called Word on Fire. I see a lot of heads shaking. If you don't know it, go ahead and Google Word on Fire, because he began by doing Christian takes or Catholic takes on contemporary cultural events, films, Broadway shows, music. And in and through encountering people and finding people were very interested to take up these discussions about contemporary culture and how they resonate with the faith, or sometimes maybe how they don't resonate in any way, he built out a whole program of evangelization. He was recently made auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Los Angeles, particularly for the vicariate that includes Hollywood. So say a prayer, he can make a difference. It's probably his greatest evangelizing mission that he's going to be sent on. But what he did was he used the theme of creation to look at and to help us enter more deeply into the story of salvation. And so he takes the five acts of creation and suggests that people think about how those five points in the story of creation bear some resemblance to their own experience. Because in telling the story of creation, we tell the story, right, of God's calling his people together, God sending his son to redeem his people, and the emergence of the church as the ongoing presence, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be that presence of Jesus in our communities. And then what I wanted to do was to be able to say, okay, let's make that story of creation and salvation a little bit more personal in looking at the story of our human relationships and being able to help people enter into this sense of that God created us in order that he could love us, that God created us to be in relationship with him. And Catherine of Siena said so beautifully, her experience of being in relationship with God taught her that the more she came to know God, the more she came to know herself. And the more she came to know herself, the more she came to know God. But we also know that part of anybody's relationship with God is that at some point the relationship is broken. But the promise that God gives us and what this year of mercy has been about is to be able to say it's never broken definitively, because a broken relationship with God can be restored. And if a broken relationship with God can be restored, then it ought to make sense that a broken relationship with someone we love can also be restored. And it's in and through Jesus we learn how that restoration is possible and how it can happen. And then we learn something of the great joy that comes in a relationship restored, which leads us to see that in Jesus, there's things possible that aren't possible by ourselves or are trying to do it alone. And then we have this opportunity to be able to say to people, would you like a deeper relationship with Jesus? Can I help you have an experience of the Lord that will lead you to an experience with God who's waiting to welcome you into his embrace? And that one way we're able to offer that as Catholics is through the sacrament of reconciliation, that we have a concrete experience of asking for forgiveness and being forgiven, of having a moment in time when that relationship is restored and whole again. And so the great challenge I think we have and the opportunity we have in forming missionary disciples is helping we, first and foremost, and then our brothers and sisters to become confident in seeing their agents of evangelization, because their experience is an experience of the unfolding of God's salvation in a deeply personal way in the life of our communities, and we'd like to think in the life of our world. But one of the really practical challenges that faces us too is we don't live in an age where we can have long, deep conversations. We'd like to get to that, and some of our best friends are exactly those people with whom we can do that. But to me, one of the challenges we face is how can we craft pieces of this story that people might want to come back and learn more? Or how can we take the opportunity that I shared this morning, for example, of me doing some gardening and my neighbor coming and walking his dog and saying, "You really believe everything the church teaches?" How can we take those opportunities and share a meaningful response? Because many cases, people are really hungering to know something. People see something in you that they would like to have, and they're not sure how to have it or maybe even what it is. For those of you who work in RCIA program, I don't know if you have this experience, but I'm amazed at when you say, "What brought you here?" And the person will say, "A coworker who I really respect, who just seems to have it all together." Or my fiancé's mother, or my grandmother. And often I'll say, "Have you told them that?" And they said, "No, we haven't ever really talked about it." And I thought, how beautiful that a coworker is the person that drove them to want to explore the RCIA process and he or she may not even be aware of it. And so what we have here is the challenge to develop what in American politics, which is not really something I want you to imitate, all I can ask is that you pray for us, is the elevator testimony. And the idea of the elevator testimony is that a political candidate ought to be able to share their platform and the time it takes to ride an elevator with someone. And I like this challenge for this reason. We don't always have a lot of time to share. But can we get good at having a few key stories or a few key insights that shape a response? So if a coworker does come to you and say, I just feel so lost after the death of my sister or my spouse or my mother, that there's something you can say that shares something of the Lord's love, that's concise, that's short, that's easy for them to go away and think about more. And so a group of us decided to find some of those key statements that we think get at the heart of the kind of relationship we can have with the Lord that we really can't find if we're not in relationship with the Lord. Right? So we have this relationship with Jesus that can be imitated and reflected in our own relationships if the Lord is present. And so what I'd like you to do is to pick one of these eight statements and complete it. And then I'm going to give you a chance, me keeping time, that it's just a minute, to be able to share it with one of the persons sitting near you. So we've done a little bit of this, so you've had a little bit of a warm-up if you've been here the last 2 days. Something as simple as, I love being Catholic because, or one thing I love about being Catholic, to something that might be a little bit more deep in the sense of a time that I drifted or was distanced myself from God was, and being able to flesh out that story. So just take a minute or two to choose one, and see if you can craft a nice short statement, a 1 minute faith story. Okay, how did that feel? A minute, good amount of time to get something going. The other thing that we find most challenging is, where are the opportunities do we have in a larger group, in the context of parish life, in the context of our ministries that we're involved in, to ask people to share something of their faith stories? What we hope that this worksheet can do is to give ministry groups a chance to do some of this faith sharing as part of the ministry work that they're doing in the parish. So RCIA teams taking the time to do it together, or Vincent de Paul, members of St. Vincent de Paul Society, taking some time to do some faith sharing as part of their meeting, or before they go out to do their work in the community. I also think we need to find ways to build into the celebration of liturgy, to build into parish events, opportunities, appropriate opportunities to invite lay people to share their testimonies of faith. I know one priest who, on the Feast of the Holy Family at the end of Mass, asks a couple to come up to talk about how they live out the sacrament of family life and the sacrament of marriage. On the parish feast day, he invites one or two people from the community at the end of Mass to share something of what that particular saint or what the parish has meant to them in their own faith journey. I think we have to be more creative in giving people an opportunity to witness in increasingly larger size groups, right? So that we have the sense of seeing, even among our fellow parishioners, the amazing work that's going on in their lives through the Lord. And one area that we have to use, I think, this is where digital media is enormously helpful. That if you have a parish Facebook page, or if you have on your website a spot where you can begin to develop these one-minute testimonies and post them, it gives people a chance to meet parishioners digitally, but it also gives us a chance to use that medium that's designed to be short and concise as an opportunity for encounter. Now, I want to be sure and clear to say that digital media doesn't create the kind of community that you can only experience when you're together, and doesn't at all imitate the community we experience in being gathered around the table of the Lord, but it can be a conversation starter. And we're learning more and more that not just millennials, but most of us here, right, Google something in before we talk to someone else about a possible parish we might be interested in going to, or we Google the times of Mass. And so what else could that website help people to encounter as they have some reason to want to look at a particular parish or want to know something about what the church teaches or where the church stands? If any of you use social media during the Olympics, it seemed like every day there were, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 short 1-minute videos of some spectacular moment in the Olympics. And I think how well we can use, you know, a 1-minute or a 2-minute clip from the homily as something to post that people could return to during the week. And so I think the combination of digital media, the combination of getting people comfortable in sharing their testimonies of faith, opens up for us an opportunity to help us be more comfortable with taking that opportunity to be able to articulate why it is that Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. Back in the 1980s, Karl Rahner was asked at the time to imagine what the Christian of the 21st century would look like. And he said that one of the great gifts the church has is that it's rooted in a timeless truth, that it's able to make new as it proclaims it in every age. And so I think that what's so beautiful is, and the comfort that we can have is, the truth that is eternal is a truth that we can proclaim for people to understand in this day and in this time. And so that always we're about the work of the proclamation of the good news. Thank you.
That was Dr. Susan Timoney with My Story and the Great Story, Becoming an Everyday Evangelizer. This presentation was part of the Proclaim 2016 conference on the theme, On a Mission of Mercy, Evangelizing Parishes, which was hosted by Broken Bay Diocese Australia. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.